You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As you take your seats, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 62. The book of Isaiah, chapter 62. And we will read verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 62, verses 1 through 7. I want to speak to you this morning about a concept that theologians call divine unrest. Divine unrest. Divine unrest is when God places a burden on someone, and that person cannot rest until that burden is lifted. God places a burden on somebody, and they cannot rest until something changes. Either they have to say something, do something, or see something in order for them to rest. It's like God takes a portion of what is on his heart, and he places it on somebody else. And when he does that, it causes unrest in the person. So you become restless and unsettled until you say something, until you do something, or until you see things change. It's like God puts somebody on your mind, and you can't get them off of your mind. You try to go to the movies and you can't enjoy the movie because you're thinking about them. You go to work and you can't focus on your job because you're thinking about somebody else. And you become restless until you say something to them or reach out to them or pray for them or go visit them. Something's sitting on you and you cannot rest until you do something about this burden that God has placed on you. You can have divine unrest over a person, a group of people, a nation, or a situation where somehow, some way, you cannot get away from thoughts concerning that person, that group of people, that nation, or even a situation. Divine unrest makes it so that, number one, it's never about you. When you have divine unrest, it's not about you. It's always about somebody else. Minding your business, living your life, trying to make a way out of no way for your own self, but God keeps putting somebody else on your heart and your mind. You're like, God, I got my own things I'm trying to work out here. Why is it that I can't leave this person alone? Can I tell you that when there is unrest in heaven, meaning that when God is not satisfied with something that is taking place on the earth, he takes that burden and he places it in the hearts of his people to the point where we cannot rest until God rests. We can't be satisfied until God is satisfied. Here's a perfect example. A few weeks ago, we had Sister Gretchen come. And y'all remember her testimony. She said she was driving in her car. She was on her way to celebrate Easter dinner with her family. And she heard on the radio about orphans in Africa. And somehow when she heard that, she couldn't even go inside her house and enjoy Easter dinner. She sat in her car contemplating, what is it that she's supposed to do? Now listen, there are orphans in every country. There are orphans that live here in Woodbury. Why is it that when she heard something about orphans in Uganda that she couldn't get any rest? Why? Because God placed that burden on her and she could not be satisfied until she started doing something to ease the suffering of orphans in Uganda. God says, I care about them and I'm going to put that burden on you so that you will do something about what's happening there. In the Old Testament, God would often put a burden on the prophets about his people. The children of Israel would be going through something, and God would stir the heart of a prophet, and that prophet was not able to rest until he said something or did something or saw things change in Israel. The burden was so heavy that even if the prophet decided that he wasn't going to speak in the name of the Lord, even if he decided he wasn't going to say anything or do anything, he ended up doing the very thing that he said he wasn't going to do. Perfect example of this is Jeremiah. God placed a burden on Jeremiah for the children of Israel. So Jeremiah went about the business of speaking on behalf of the Lord, telling Israel to repent and turn their hearts back to God. And because of that, Jeremiah began to be persecuted and put in prison. Nobody likes to be told that they're doing wrong. Nobody likes, especially religious folks, we don't like people to tell us that we are disobedient and we're not in good relationship with God. But that was exactly the burden that God placed on Jeremiah. So Jeremiah said, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't care anything else about these people. God, you can have your way with them. Put whatever kind of judgment you want to put on them. I am done. I'm not saying anything else. But then we read in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. This is what Jeremiah said. But if I say I will never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his words burn in my heart like a fire. It's like fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I cannot do it. He said, I said I wasn't going to say anything, but that divine unrest kept stirring in my soul. And the very thing I said I wasn't going to do, I found myself doing. Can I tell the truth? Can I be honest with you for a moment? There are times where I don't feel like praying. There are times where I've decided I'm not helping that person anymore. There's been times where I said I'm not praying for them anymore. There's been times that I'm not volunteering anymore. I'm not supporting anymore. I'm not saying anything anymore. I'm closing my eyes and shutting my mouth. But something stirs on the inside of me. And the very thing I say that I'm not doing again, the very person I say I'm not praying for anymore, the moment I hit my knees, their name come out of my mouth. The very thing I said, nope, I'm not helping them anymore. I find myself helping them. Why? Because when God puts a burden on you, it's not up to you to do it or not. God will make it so that you can't rest. You don't have any peace until you do what God has called you to do. It's called divine unrest. You can't keep quiet. You can't stand still. You feel the urge to keep on praying until something changes. When we look in this text, Isaiah chapter 62, beginning at verse 1, we find the prophet Isaiah is experiencing this divine unrest for the city of Jerusalem that has been devastated and destroyed at this point. Isaiah says in verse 1, he says, because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. Isaiah says, because I love Zion, because I love Jerusalem, because of what God has put on me, I will not keep still. I will not remain silent. And I will not stop praying until righteousness is restored. Lord have mercy. He said, listen, when I look at Jerusalem, I'm going to keep talking about what God has said. I cannot be silent. I cannot be still. And I will not stop talking to God about what's happening in Jerusalem until righteousness is restored. When you are experiencing divine unrest, it is impossible for you to see unrighteousness and not say anything. When you are dealing with divine unrest, it is impossible for you to see unrighteousness and not do anything. When you are dealing with divine unrest, it is impossible for you to decide to stop praying. You keep on praying until something changes. You keep on praying until righteousness is restored. Can I tell you that sin is the cause of unrighteousness? And sin is destroying our families, our communities, and our churches. Sin makes room for strongholds to come in the hearts and minds of people where they cannot break free of the demonic influence over their life. And those of us who have been called by God should not be at ease at this point. We should feel a sense of unrest. We should be restless until righteousness is restored. The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When unrighteousness is the order of the day, God always places a burden in the hearts of his people to say, we've got to do something about it. Now I realize what is happening in this church right now. God has placed a burden on us for the people in this area who are living in darkness and are bound by satanic attack, and he will not let us rest. I personally have become restless when I think about what's happening in our community. And because of this unrest, we are praying like never before. We are fasting like never before. We are seeking the face of God like never before. And we cannot be silent. We cannot be still. We will not stop praying until righteousness is restored. I'm not going to do it. It is unrighteous that we live in the wealthiest country on the earth, yet we have elderly who have to choose between buying medicine or food. That's unrighteous. It is unrighteous that we live in the wealthiest country on the earth and we don't take care of our poor. Why do we still have homelessness with all the money in this country? That is unrighteous. It is unrighteous that children who didn't ask to be here are now neglected and abused by their parents. That is unrighteous. It is unrighteous that a child is denied a good education because of their zip code. That is unrighteous. It is unrighteous that the working poor cannot afford health care. It is unrighteous that children cannot pray in school, but they can dress like demons and devils on Halloween. That, my friend, is unrighteous. And we ought to be stirred until righteousness is restored in our country. It's unrighteous for churches not to meet the needs of the people. It is unrighteous for us to celebrate big buildings and a lot of people and wonderful programs, but people sit in darkness and are bound by sin. That, my friend, is unrighteous, and you ought to be restless when you think about it. And say, God, we are not going to stop until righteousness is restored. Until our families are restored, we're not going to stop. Until our young people are restored, we're not going to stop. Not going to do it. Until heaven is satisfied, we will never be satisfied. Verse 2, look at what Isaiah says now. He says, the nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory. That's what righteousness being restored looks like. He says, and you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see. A splendid crown in the hand of God. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. You may not know this, but most of us have two names. We have our birth name, which is the name that our mother called us when we were born. But then we have our nickname, which is what everybody else calls you based upon how you act. And often, it's the name people call you behind your back. Yeah, they call you your birth name to your face, but they call you a whole different kind of name behind your back. I had an uncle, I've talked about him before. I had an uncle who my grandmother named him William Walker. But as long as I've been alive, I've known him as Uncle Sneaky. So one day I asked my grandmother, I said, Mama, why do we call Uncle Sneaky Uncle Sneaky? My grandmother said, because when he was a child, he was always sneaking around doing something he wasn't supposed to do. So we called him Sneaky. And when you were born, we decided that you should call him Uncle Sneaky, because he's still sneaky. Names are connected to reputations. So it doesn't matter what your legal name is. The question is, how do you show up in the world? People will call you a name based upon how you show up in the world. And for Jerusalem, because they were destroyed, the surrounding nations looked at Jerusalem, the city of the Jerusalem, and called the city forsaken and desolate. Oh, you were great and you were beautiful at one point, but now you have the reputation of being forsaken and desolate. And Jeremiah said, I will not stop talking. I will not stop praying until you get a new name. I will not stop until you are called the city of God and the bride of God. No longer will you be called forsaken and desolate. Now you will be called God's delight. Now you will be called the bride of God, because God has claimed you. Said you got a new name. Divine unrest means that we talk to people and we pray for people and we minister to people until they get a new name. Because right now we call them rebellious, arrogant, addict, fornicator, mean, evil, untrustworthy, unfaithful, unlovable. But we're going to keep praying for people and ministering to people until their reputation changes to the point where we say that person is a child of God. That person is sanctified. That person is holy. That person is faithful and willing to work. Hallelujah to God. Can I tell you, we never give up on people. We pray for them and minister to them until God gives them a new name. I don't care if it's a child, a cousin, a neighbor, a supervisor. We don't give up on anybody, because God can take you from a place of being forsaken to a place of being restored and healed. And I don't care what you look like today, I'm going to look in the Spirit, and I am going to pray until you start acting like what God has called you. Do you know that God doesn't wait until you become better, until he calls you better? But the brother Gideon was hiding. He was weak. He was afraid working in the field. But when the angel of the Lord came to him, he didn't call Gideon weak and afraid. No, he called him a mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. Anybody glad that God doesn't call you what you look like today, but he calls you where he sees you in the future? And then he'll stir in our hearts. And while everybody are saying you are nothing, we are saying you are the apple of God's eye. Because we can't rest. Oh, somebody, be careful what you call your children. Be careful what you call your spouse. Be careful what you call your family members. It's time for us to start calling people by their God-given name. I don't care what their reputation is. I'm going to pray until the rebellious become righteous. Oh, yes. I'm going to pray until the fearful become strong. I am going to pray until the unrighteous become holy. I will not rest until I see with my own eyes what God has shown me in the Spirit. I can't rest until that time. We're almost done here. Last two verses, and I'll let you go. Verses 6 and 7. Listen to this. He says, O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. Look at what he says. God says, I have posted watchmen on your walls. In ancient times, there were two types of watchmen. The first type of watchmen were only activated during harvest. These watchmen were responsible for watching over the field as the harvest was ripening so that animals and thieves wouldn't come in and steal what was ready to be harvested. So their only job was to watch day and night. They would watch so that nobody comes in after the workers have worked and labored. Because you know, thieves come in and steal what they have not planted. They rob what they have not worked for. They tear down what they did not build up. So there were always watchmen who their responsibility was to keep their eyes and their ears open to make sure that nobody takes the harvest. We need some spiritual watchmen in the house this morning to watch as people's lives are being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ and they're being harvested in the kingdom of God. We need somebody to stand watch so that the adversary's lie and his approach can be defeated, because we see him before he comes. So that was the first watchman. Then the second watchman, whenever there was a fortified city, the fortified city is a city that had walls surrounding the city, one of the most popular biblical fortified cities is Jericho. We know what happened with Jericho. We used to sing the song, and the walls came tumbling down. That was a fortified city. Well, the fortified cities would have towers on the corners of the city, and the whole job of the watchman was to stand and watch and see who was approaching the city. And if they saw a threat, they would sound the alarm, and the city would close its gates and prepare for battle. Come on. They're in the watchtower. They're higher up than the people who live in the city. They see things that the people don't see. The people are going about their business, but God assigns somebody and gives them a broader point of view so they can see things that the people don't see. And when they saw a threat, their job was to sound the alarm. Lord have mercy. What good is it to have a watchman if he sees something but don't say anything? And that's why I find myself in a peculiar place in my life, because there are things that I see in the spirit and I am compelled. There are things that I see and I say, nope, I'm not saying that today, God. I'm not trying to offend nobody. I want everybody to be happy, and I want them to come back next Sunday, so I ain't saying nothing. But I end up saying stuff that I hadn't planned on saying it, because if I saw it, I saw it because God showed it to me, and I have to tell you so that you can prepare yourself for battle. Close the gate and get ready to fight. When you hear the alarm, it means close the gate. That means back off of whatever you into, whatever you grab the hold of, let it go and get ready to fight. These two verses, and we're almost done, these two verses here gives us the three responsibilities of spiritual watchmen. The first thing we see, the watchman's job, the spiritual watchman's job, is to pray day and night. Yeah. It is through prayer that you keep your ears open to the voice of God. It is through prayer that God will show you things that the people who are not in prayer don't see. It is through prayer that God will speak to you things that the people who are not praying don't hear. It is through prayer that God will prepare you for what's coming with the people who are not prepared, and they're not praying, they're not prepared. Why is it that some of us weather storms better than others? It's not because one is deeper than the other or smarter than the other. No, some of it is just because through prayer I saw it coming and I prepared myself for it. But you were on Facebook, you were at the movies, you were having a good time at the park, and you missed when the alarm sounded. You missed it, but I had my ear to God's mouth, so I heard it and I'm prepared for it. There are people who keep coming to prayer, and it's not because they don't have anything else to do. It's not because their schedules are not busy. It's not because prayer is always at a convenient time. It's not because they never have to cancel one thing so that they can come to prayer. It's not because they're never sick or tired or frustrated or angry or mad or sad. That's not why they keep coming. They don't keep coming because everything is good. No, they keep coming because they have divine unrest, and they cannot stop until they see righteousness restored in their families and their communities. With divine unrest, you have a headache, you take your medicine, and you keep coming. With divine unrest, you do what you need to do. You go to bed early so you can get up early for prayer. When you have divine unrest, you log off of stuff so that you can spend time with God. And it's not that we don't have, everybody has something to do, but somebody needs to be stirred in the place of unrest to say, I will not stop talking to God. I will not stop letting God hear my voice until righteousness is restored. We need some restless folks in the house. So the first assignment is to pray day and night. That don't mean be on your knees day and night. My knees couldn't take that. But I could be, do you know that you could be talking to one person and praying for somebody else at the same time? You could be on the phone taking your customer's order and be in prayer at the same time. You can be taking your kids to school, helping them with their homework, and praying with them at the same time. Why? Because it's a spiritual connection that I can utter things with my heart to God that my mouth would never say. And I'm not a good multitasker, but there's one thing that I've learned how to do. I've learned how to work and pray at the same time. I've learned how to talk to you on the phone and pray for somebody else at the same time and not miss what you said. Oh, I'll just ask you what you said. So we pray. Second thing, he says, take no rest. Pray day and night. Take no rest. Listen, this is not the time to go on a spiritual vacation. As long as unrighteousness is destroying our families, we should take no rest. It doesn't mean don't go on vacation. It doesn't mean don't go out of time. It doesn't mean don't chill out from time to time. But I'm telling you, that means even when we are on vacation, we're praying for somebody. Even when we are on vacation, we're looking for an opportunity to share our faith. Even when we are in ultimate chill mode, we are always concerned about what God is concerned about, and we take physical rest so we can strengthen ourselves in our spiritual fight. He said, take no rest. Sometime on, sometime off. No, it's too critical for us to decide, let me back off of the spiritual activity for a while. It's too critical. Lives are being lost every day. And you never know one word from you, one word out of your mouth that's well seasoned in the word and the spirit and the anointing of God can turn somebody's life around. So we take no rest. Last thing says, give the Lord no rest until he completes his work. Did y'all just read that? He says, give the Lord no rest until he completes his work. Watchmen, grab a hold to the promise of God, and they keep reminding God of the promise until God does it. Watchmen, give God no rest from hearing their voice. Watchmen, say, God, you will hear me in the morning. You will hear me in the afternoon. You will hear me in the early evening. You will hear me late at night. I will give you no rest until you complete the work. And here's the promise. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. So I'm not going to give you any rest. I'm going to keep praying for it. I'm going to keep talking about it. I'm going to keep working until God completes his work day and night. He will hear from us. I don't know about you, but there are some things that I am not going to stop praying about until I see it come to pass. There are some people that I'm not going to stop praying about until I see them delivered, healed, and set free. I don't care how many setbacks they've had. I mean, I don't care how many times they've gotten off the stuff and they got back on it. I don't care how many times they've gone to jail. I don't care how many times they stole my money and lied to my face. There are some people I'm not going to stop praying for until God completes his work. I'm not giving up on anybody because God can save anybody. We must make it up in our minds. You can stand to your feet. We must make it up in our minds that we will not rest until righteousness is restored in our families, in our community, and in our nation. Righteousness is what is pleasing to God. Righteousness is when we're in order. When we are experiencing the kingdom of God manifested in our lives, and we're all submitted to the word of God. If there's a person or a group of people or a nation or a situation that you can't get off your mind, it could be possible that God has given you burden for that situation. And you're never going to rest until you say something or do something. You're never going to rest until the thought gets out of your mind and is put into action. You're never going to be able to take it off your prayer list until you see something change. It could be that God has assigned you to be a watchman over that area that you can't get off your mind. So, Jeremiah, I put watchmen on the walls. You didn't choose who to be the watchman. I put watchmen on the wall. You and I don't get to choose the burden God gives us. Mm-mm. We don't get to choose where we're going to be watchmen. God puts us where he wants us. Can I tell you, men, you are the watchmen of your homes. It is your responsibility to look down the road and see what danger is approaching. And I don't care if that danger comes in the house with legs or it comes in through the internet. It is your responsibility to watch what approaches your home. Parents, you are the watchmen of your children. Let them be angry. Let them be frustrated. Let them roll their eyes and stomp through the house. But you are responsible for what comes in and out of your children's lives. You are their watchmen. Teachers, you're the watchmen of your students. Whatever job you work at, it could be that the reason that you get that job is because God said, I need to put a watchman at that job. Somebody who can watch and see and pray and talk to me because there's some righteousness that I want to restore. Listen, whatever city you live in, it could be it's not an accident that you ended up in Oakdale or Maplewood or Woodbury. It could be that God has assigned you to be a watchman for that city. Stop looking at yourself as just a resident of that city, someone who lives there and shops there and goes to school there. No, your job is bigger than just living and commerce. No, you are a watchman for that city. You should pray for your city day and night, because you're not just a resident. Last thing, when God puts a burden on you, you can't outrun it. Ask Jonah. Y'all know the Jonah story, right? Didn't work for him. Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. He ended up doing it anyway. Can I tell you, when you run from God, you end up running to him. Hear what I'm saying. As you are running away from what God has called you to do and to be, what you don't realize is that the faster you run, the closer you are getting to where God wants you to be. You can't fool God. You can run, but you can't hide. Huh? The very thing you say, God, I would never do, you end up doing it. I'm a living witness. I would rather be working the sound with Kevin this morning. Much more comfortable back there. But if the burden is on you, you can't rest. You can change careers. You can change locations. You can move the house that you live in. You can go anywhere you want to go in the world. And when you get there, you're going to run right into the thing that God has called you. We get ready to pray, but as long as there is unrest in heaven, there will be unrest in the hearts and the minds of God's people, because he has given us the responsibility to respond to the burden that he has put on us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today, for how you have spoken to us and helped us get some clarity as to why there are some people that we can't get off of our minds, situations that we can't get off of our minds. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would give us the grace to accept our responsibility to be watchmen over the territory that you have assigned us, and that we will pray day and night. We will take no rest. We will speak. We will do. We will pray until righteousness is restored. Give us grace and strength to accept the calling on our lives. We will not run away from it, but we accept it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.